You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Wait a minute, stop the music. It's not Denise, it's Janice. It's Janice is back with us tonight. Janice's husband, Rich, we love the Hamlins. We go rambling yes. with the Hamlins, you know. But
oh my goodness.
Rich, Janice's husband said, no sappy music for Janice. I said, no problem, I got you, buddy. So that's why I went with the 50s doo-wop. But it's not Denise, it's Janice. Janice Hamlin is back with us tonight. No, actually what I told him was, I don't know if I can help you with that because that's what the show calls for this evening. But Rich is like an associate producer with us, and he's a lot more than that. He keeps me in check, and if I'm ever doing wrong, he's the first I hear about it from.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. A true inheritance of he is the true... He received his patrimony, that's for sure, from his Southern forebears. And we're so thankful for him and Janice. And she's with us now. Janice, with that being said, how are you tonight? I've asked every lady that. I'll ask you, how are you tonight?
I'm doing real good and ready to talk on two different subjects.
Well, what are we going to talk about first? That's the thing. That's the subject. I mean, we've got to, you know, last year you were on and you talked about how radical, we had talked about tonight how each of the ladies had called their own shots. They'd picked their own topics. You had talked last year about how radical feminism had ravaged the family. I thought it was a wonderful topic to talk about again, but you went in a little bit different direction. We could talk about that or something else or really anything. All of the ladies have been fantastic. You'll be no exception.
As being the old lady in the group,
no,
I have, yes, I am. I have two different topics. Hey, listen, I could be all of y'all's mothers. Every last one of the people that I've been on so far, I could be your mother. But I thought that the first thing I wanted to go over was gardening, and because what we feed our family is really, really important.
Yes.
And you know, most everything yes. you buy from the store has got GMOs, or they yes. put all kinds of weed killer on it. And
chemicals
on top of that, even things, yeah. And even things that are called organic, I've heard that some people in other countries use human waste as fertilizer. And I'm going, no, that's not organic to me.
Yeah, the organic title no longer is as pure as it
was.
I got to tell you a story very quickly. We bought our kids some
Don't tell.
No. Well, we allowed our kids to buy some Japanese candy, and Danny read the back of it.
All had a piece in their mouth.
Yeah, all had a piece in their mouth. So she read the back and it said, this product may contain arsenic and lead.
And
pathogens that will cause, like, brain cancer in certain children. And
deformities and reproductive problems. It was clearly right there. And I made them all spit it out.
That was literally on the back.
On a lot of the packaged foods that you get, my daughter-in-law found out that a lot of, even like in soups and stuff, they are actually putting bugs already in our food. They are introducing bugs into our food. So to me, it is extremely important. I mean, if all you can do is grow a little bit to be able to eat fresh vegetables in your own garden during the summer, if you don't want to have to go the extra mile of freezing it or canning it, because that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's really important because when you grow it yourself, I mean, we have a very small garden, but it gives Richard and I some fresh food and then some things through the winter time. I know exactly the seeds I've put in there.
That's right.
I know exactly the fertilizer I've put in there. I know exactly what kind of, if I even ever use a bug repellent, and usually it's a, because there's all kinds of old homemade remedies to get away with get rid of bugs and things like that you can use, or you can use neem oil, which is pretty safe, and things like that. I mean, it's just important. I mean, if you, and like I got thinking, a lot of people say, well, I live in a city, or I live in an apartment. I'm thinking, I have a friend that she went out and bought, I says, I'll bring you a pepper and a tomato plant, and I'll bring some bean seeds. She bought pots, filled them with dirt, and she put them on her back deck. She has a deer problem, and she loved it. She only got three different kinds of things, but she had them all summer and into the fall. And so, you know, we talk about the internet. There's so many things to help on the internet. You can go on and find all kinds of people about gardening, you know, if you don't know anything about it, you know.
That's another reason why it's so important, like Kim said, to plug in with other families, because you can help support each other in this way too.
Well, what Janice is talking about right now, you know, so they live in a relatively metropolitan area, but just in their own backyard, they can grow enough that it's an abundance. And so, Janice, Danny and I were just talking about, I think just as recently as last night, about, you know, sort of extending our little flower bed garden. I mean, we live in the suburbs, so it's not a big thing. I mean, literally, her little...
I have two little raised beds.
Raised beds about the size of the desk here in the studio tonight. And it produces so many tomatoes and peppers that it's more than we could eat. We give them away.
I'm able to supply my whole little cove with vegetables.
Danny, you would probably like M.I. Gardeners. He does everything in raised beds, and he gives lots of good information. And another thing is that you can co-plant. You can put herbs and things into your flower beds.
I was just looking this. I'll have to go more in depth with you when we're off, but this is definitely alley.
Up your game, girl. You can do your own.
I've got a lot to learn.
I gave away dried rosemary and dried lemon balm for Christmas gifts this year.
That's sweet.
People. You know, I mean, and oh my goodness, they smell so much better than what they smell okay. What you get in the store, they smell so much better what you do.
The smell is so much stronger.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's very much a lot stronger. But, you know, you plant 6-8 green bean plants, you're going to have green beans for most of the summer for your family. For us, a tomato plant is usually enough. But, you know, you can have enough tomatoes to have fresh tomatoes every night after a while. Yeah, and it's so... And the main thing is, the whole thing is that you know what's in there. We have a 150 by 75 foot lot. That's it. And not only do we have a garden, but I've planted berry bushes all over.
So we got to take a break. Janice? I never want to cut off Janice, but time is a cruel mistress. We're going to come back with you, but I got to tell a story. Oh, Caroline just came in and she wants to tell a story. We've got to tell a story. I'm going to tell a story about the first time I met Rich. That's coming up next.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Mm-hmm. Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Valentine's Day program. It's Ladies Night on TPC this week, every February, and the memories that go. We've had a lot of memories with so many people that we've met, so many guests, but especially those appearing tonight. Wonderful, wonderful memories. Janice and her husband, Rich, I want to share with you very quickly before she transitions into her second topic. The very first time I met Rich was at a That's her husband, who's sort of like an associate producer, and he appears in his own right on this program throughout the year as well, as does Janice. But the first time I ever met them in person was at a CFCC, that's a Council of Conservative Citizen Conference, probably about 10 years ago. Well, let me check, because there was a movie that came out, and I'm going to read the synopsis of this movie. And the synopsis is, in 1986, federal agent Robert Mazur goes undercover to infiltrate the trafficking network of Colombian kingpin Pablo Escobar. So the name of that movie was The Infiltrator. And by the way, this is a little bit of TPC trivia. We interviewed the actual agent, Robert Mazur, who infiltrated the Escobar cartel. Now, in the movie, he was played by Bryan Cranston, a Breaking Bad fame. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? Probably, well, I don't want Janice to disagree with me, but the greatest TV show in history, Breaking Bad, Robert Mazur played by Bryan Cranston in the movie. Now, when we were interviewing Bob Mazur in that interview some years ago, I pronounced it as the Medellin cartel. It was the Medellin cartel. When I first met Rich, I said... Yeah, he said, I heard your interview with Robert Mazur. I said, yeah, I think I was pronouncing the Medellin cartel. He said, yeah, I know. That was my very first interaction with the Hamblin family. But thankfully, it got better after that. And we're so grateful to have this longtime friendship. Hey, when they come into town, they stay at our house. When I go into the Nashville area, we get together at Cracker Barrel. I love them dearly, and they have become great friends and family of the program. So anyway, notwithstanding, let's go back into it, Janice. What do you want to talk about now?
Well, the next thing I want to do is I want to talk about our common enemy. And Lacey kind of touched on one thing that they've done to us, and every week Keith always talks about it. Our enemy, all mankind, but especially the white man, the European descent people, is the Jew. And I want to first list some of the things that they have created or been behind. They created evolution, communism, psychology, and our fake money system, starting with the Bank of England, that's based on nothing but credit.
They own up to 90% of all our media, print, radio, and TV, and internet sources like Facebook, YouTube, Google. And they are behind our modern medicine system and the pharmaceutical companies that are poisoning us with their, and you all do know that the word pharmacy comes from the word, Greek word, witchcraft, right? All their potions are witchcraft. They are the ones that have been pushing the race question, homosexuality, feminism, the problem of being overpopulated, only white people, LGBTQ, onto the American people. And they have totally infiltrated, starting in the 1920s, into our colleges. Now they're into all of our schools. And I was telling you that I was really, really, really pleased that so many of the younger women here all homeschool their children. I did not have a good experience when my children went to public school for a very short time, and did not have a good experience with my two oldest grandchildren about public school. They're evil. You don't want your children in there at all. I mean, they are turning our kids. They're telling our kids that that natural affection between a husband and a wife, or a man and a woman, mm-hmm. is wrong. And
yeah, I mean, forget about the days when it was, we would be aghast at the Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln propaganda. Now it's transgender, yeah. homosexuality. I yeah. mean, any level of Satanism you
would
can imagine.
Have, like, drag queens read storybooks to our babies.
And libraries and you know, public schools.
And, you know, you promote, or you have as an ad, Antelope Press, and I did get that book on transgenderism. And I got into 180 pages into it and just kind of quit. I couldn't take it anymore. Because you know what it is? It's almost all Jewish groups that are giving schools and corporations grants of money. But it comes with ties. They have to do all this, you know, touchy-feely stuff to make people more acceptable of that lifestyle and teach it. So, I mean, it's really, really, and the whole thing is they're really trying, they have doing, even abortion, you know, is a common practice, or not, what does it say? Judaism loves abortion. Let's put it that way. So they're doing everything they can to make sure that we do not reproduce. So I'm also glad everybody has three or more children, too. Then we also, another bad part is our entertainment. You know, our entertainment. They own a good portion of the music, TV, movies, sports teams. They own those. And if you've noticed, because I know you love the 50s music. Listen to the degenerate garbage we get now. And the clips that we had of, what was it, the Global Awards or whatever the award they give to the singers, that they were pushing all this Satanism and all this stuff. I mean, it's just awful.
Well, I wrote an article for the Barnes Review. It was a readapted article of something that I wrote for TPC some years ago, but about a Frank Sinatra movie. A short in the 1950s. I mean, they were pushing this stuff in Hollywood as early as the 1950s. I mean, full stop.
Oh, yeah. Just like Some Like It Hot. Men wearing girls' clothes and passing off as girls. You know, hey. But, you know, and I know you said not to say it, but Disney is not, I mean, okay, so you go there. But you do not need to buy any of their products. You don't need to buy their movies. You don't need to buy the Disney Channel for your children.
We do not.
None of it.
We don't let them watch Disney. I mean, we hardly let them watch TV at all. But
we love Walt.
We don't watch any news.
No, seriously. Walt Disney was one of us. I mean, he was a patriot. I mean, he was an American hero. He was an American genius. And... It's a shame that, but they took over that, like the churches, like every other institution, they've taken it all over. But Walt would have never stood for this business.
But now we're going to, you know, those are always, if you're not spending your money on their stuff, if you're not watching their stuff that makes them money, it's like you're starting to help kill the beast. And the biggest way that you can, another way that you can really help to slay this beast without doing a thing, but being smart, is you need to try to get out of debt as much as possible. Don't use credit cards unless you're going to pay them off within a month or two.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to make a little bit bigger of a purchase.
Yes, that is key.
And then,
yes.
you know, pay your car off and start saving for the next car. Mm-hmm. You know, pay your house off if you can. Now, I know that's a real hard one, but, you know, don't watch their TV shows. Don't go to their movies or their sporting events, unless it's, you know, high school, maybe some college. Get your kids out of their schools. I'm telling you, if it means you have to go to a smaller, downsize your house, and you have to have your wife or, you know, not work or work from home a couple hours, anything, the most precious thing we have are our children.
Hey,
and
Denise, let me tell you something.
We can't let them be destroyed by public schools.
No, that's absolutely right. And by modern society, one of you fellow guests tonight, Kim, wrote, Denise is fire because she come to my house.
Exposing
I feel like a liberal next to her.
Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Another unidentified object has been shot down today. This after one was shot down yesterday and a Chinese spy balloon was taken out of the sky a week ago. John Schaefer fills us in on today's flying object.
This went over Canadian airspace. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweeting that Canadian and U.S. aircraft were scrambled and a U.S. F-22 successfully shot it down. NBC correspondent Dan DeLuce raising the question, why are we seeing so many?
Is this because there's a heightened sensitivity as the U.S. and the Canadian military watch the airspace over North America? Or is there something else here? Is it connected to a foreign adversary?
The high-altitude airborne object shot down over the Yukon. Trudeau said he has spoken with President Biden, and Canadian forces will now recover the object. I'm John Schaefer.
The Texas Department of Public Safety says no more troopers will be disciplined over the response to the Uvalde mass shooting. The DPS investigated the conduct of seven troopers. One was fired and another faces termination. The Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton talks about when it actually hit him that he was playing in the Super Bowl tomorrow.
It really didn't hit me until I probably walked across the stage, man. I saw the trophy for the first time in person. It's kind of one of those things you kind of watch on TV, never really see it in person, but you see it in person, makes it all real.
Super Bowl 57 on Fox. It begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. SpaceX is planning to send more Starlink satellites into orbit this weekend if the weather cooperates. The private space company has a launch scheduled for just after midnight, early Sunday morning, at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. But the launch conditions are only 20% go. Forecasters are concerned about strong winds and clouds in the area. Monday is the backup day. This is USA News.
Attention, small business owners. This could be the most important 10-minute call you will ever make. You may be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee through the Employee Retention Credit. Call Omega Accounting Solutions to see if your business is eligible to recover payroll tax pay during the pandemic. All it takes is a quick, easy, free 10-minute consultation to determine your qualifications. Call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-309-ERC. Omega's knowledgeable staff will streamline the process of filing complicated paperwork. Omega is the small business champion with teams dedicated to maximizing tax credits. CPAs even turn to Omega for ERC guidance. Take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit before it's too late. The 3-year sunset deadline is setting soon. So find out if you qualify today. Call 800-309-ERC. That's 800-309-ERC. Or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com.
the message tonight, I think. I mean, I don't have enough hate in my reservoirs to propel me through 20 years, that's for sure. It is love. It is love for our people, love for our families, love for our cause that can make one endure. And so thank you for the message. We don't want to live in a world without love, and it is love that guides everything that this program has done. All of the guests, all of the memories, all of the segments, it's done for love, love for a cause greater than ourselves. And so here we are. I don't want this night to end. It has been a fantastic night with such fantastic people.
It's fun talking with your friends.
How has 2.5 hours gone by so quickly? But closing the Valentine's Day broadcast, as she so often does, is Courtney from Alabama. Now, I know, Danny, you know Courtney. Talking about being on vacations with people, we have made a little way station of Courtney's home in the past, and she took us on a little tour of her area down there in the Deep South, and we were all the better for it. How about it?
All right. Y'all are welcome anytime. I love y'all.
Oh, you're sweet. Oh, that's sweet.
We had a good time, didn't
we? Enjoy. Yes. Yes, we enjoy spending time with your family.
Y'all are like family.
Absolutely. I agree.
Oh, I'm so glad you're on tonight, Danny.
Aw. You know, it's not really my thing, but.
Well, she's playing a reserve role. I say co-host, but, you know, she's far too bashful and reserved. But and all of the other ladies, fantastic. You too, Danny. No.
Speak, and it just doesn't come out.
I don't think that at all. But
well, that's so nice.
This is the last. Can you believe it's been 2.5 hours? We're at the of six ladies. We're at the sixth of six. Six of six.
Did you say that right?
I don't know, but it's the last one, and it's Courtney. But Courtney normally closes. I mean, but Courtney's on with us throughout the year, sort of like the mascot of the show, and Confederate History Month, Christmas, Halloween, Valentine's Day. So, somebody's calling the studio line. Danny's going to get it now.
Okay.
Let's hope it's not the owner. Let's hope Janice didn't upset the station manager here, but no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so Courtney, let's.
Thank you.
She's saying thank you. So who was it? Tell us. Oh, somebody saying how much they enjoy the program?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought it was. All right, Courtney, what are we talking about tonight?
Just a fan.
Okay. Okay. So I'm starting off with, I'm going to kind of be all over the place tonight, but I'm starting off with and I'm going to try to get through it fast. I got a lot of notes here, but you know, last time I was on, I talked about women in the workplace, and you know, I've been in the workplace myself. I don't agree that women should be there, but I've been there, you know, because I didn't really have a choice at times. But you know, I went through a lot of reasons last time women don't belong there. And, you know, there's a number of reasons. Men get along better working together, you know, without women there. You know, they get along better with each other than women do with each other. It's amazing. And, you know, they don't get into, they're not interested in gossip and drama like women are. I mean, there were a number of things I went into, but I want to touch back on the Me Too stuff. You know, I men have flirted with me in the workplace, but I've never ever thought of accusing a man of sexual harassment. And I'm sure most women agree. The Me Too thing, I mean, most women I'm sure don't really support it. And it doesn't make sense to me. You know, usually men by nature, you know, white men, you know, they by nature, they're gentlemen. They flirt with women because the women gave them a sign to approach them. If a woman is direct with a man, if a woman's direct with a white man, you know, to leave me alone, they usually do. I mean, to be honest, the only men who have been persistent in my past are when black men approach me. You know, it's like, I'm not interested, but then they keep asking questions and they think it's because you're racist or something. You know, it's ridiculous. But you know, under the patriarchy, I mean, under the patriarchy of white men, you know, I think in general, women were just more protected in general. Like, you know, we were asked to dress modestly. We were protected from pornography. You know, that stuff was kept in private.
with feminism, it's like feminists are the real perverts. It's not the patriarchal white men of the past. Feminists have really objectified women in so many ways. You know, they're the ones that go out and say, you know, oh, women should be able to take their tops off if they want. And, you know, it's just, and whereas the men are asking them to cover up. And, you know, and a lot of traditional women agree with the men too. But it's just, I've never understood the feminist take on that. And how much time do I have in this segment? Because I wanted to talk about modesty in general the rest of the segment.
We got about 4 more minutes to say. We got plenty of time.
Okay, great. You know, I think the West in general needs to, and this is something kind of separate from the feminist movement. I mean, it's related, but it's also its own separate thing. I think the West needs to return to modesty in general. I think wearing clothes is a sign of being civilized, being modest. There was a time when white people were the most modest people in the world, like with the exception of the Muslim world. We were the most modest people in the world. Other people around the world learned about modesty from us. Like, as, you know, when we went around the world as colonizers and missionaries, we think of the Japanese as being modest today, but it was white people who taught them about modesty. They were not modest when the white people arrived. And then, you know, the same with India. You know, and now it really upsets me, you know, we're seeing a reverse of that, you know, where most of the rest of the world is a lot more modest than white people. And I don't find it very dignified at all. It's not what our ancestors did, our Christian ancestors. It's not how they lived. You know, and I talk about Anglo-Saxons a lot lately and, you know, people from the British Isles, that's my ethnicity. I don't talk about them a lot because I think they're better than other whites, but I just think they get criticized all the time in their movement. So I like to compliment them, you know, but, you know, the Anglosphere has its own issues. We have our own sinful nature now, and we're not nearly as modest as we used to be. But compared to some of our continental European cousins, I mean, good God, I'm very thankful that we kind of went through the Puritan movement and the whole Victorian movement, you know, making us the prudes that we are. We got our problems, but gosh, I really don't, and I'm going to irritate people in the audience, but I really don't understand where this whole nudist culture in Europe came from, you know, in certain countries over there, like, because that's not how their ancestors conducted themselves. Like, you know, it seems to be common in Germany and Holland and, you know, certain countries, not all of them, but I mean, you know, I've debated people in the movement about this before, and they try to tell me, oh, but that's so advanced, you shouldn't be ashamed of the human body, it shows that you're advanced, unlike those Muslims. And, you know, to me, it's not advanced. It's not how our ancestors conducted themselves. It's not how most of the world conducts themselves now. I think they laugh at Europeans for this sort of thing. It doesn't make us look civilized. I think it makes us the laughing stock. And, you know, I mean, it's like maybe the only other people doing that right now are savages in the middle of the jungle, you know, sunbathing in parks nude and stuff. It's just, you know, so anyways, as Europeans, I think, you know, it's like Germany, the home of Martin Luther, you know, Germany's one of these countries that is so lax about public nudity. And, you know, that's the country of Martin Luther. During his time, people weren't doing that. And I just think, in general, Europeans, I think we need to, you know, return to modesty like our Christian ancestors and be more dignified as people. I love the way our ancestors dressed. I love the way the women dressed. They always looked so beautiful. You know, the long dresses, the national costumes all these countries in Europe used to wear, like the way the Swedish national costumes, those dresses the women wore, you know, Germany, the dirndls, is it called dirndl? Or, you know, women just look so, it's like the women look so beautiful. I mean, don't you all think so? I mean, it's just, I wish we would go back to that. I don't know. I have more time than I thought I did.
Well, you're running out of time. That has never happened. In 19 years of appearances from Courtney from Alabama, has she ever run out of time? Normally, she can't get enough in. But tonight, the time has expanded for her. That's a gift from St. Valentine himself. How about that, Courtney?
Oh, you know what? Since I have some time, you know, in regards to Valentine's Day, You know, in our house, I make it, and I'm sure other women in the audience are the same, and the ones that were on the show. It's like, I don't really expect anything from my husband. I don't put that pressure on him.
Do you decorate really like Valentine's you do for Halloween for Valentine's Day? That's what we want to know.
Yes, and I make it about the children. I make it about the children. I get so excited about giving them stuff on Valentine's Day. And, you know, my husband, I might cook a nice dinner for him.
All right. That's right. That's right. You and my wife, I got to admit, we hey, nothing supplants Christmas. Christmas is number one. Do we get into Halloween and Valentine's Day? You better believe it. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. One more segment to go.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I love my calendar girl. Yeah, sweet calendar girl. I love my calendar girl. Each and every day of the year. January, you start the year off fine. February, you're my little Valentine.
March,
I'm gonna march you down the aisle.
April,
you're the Easter bunny when you smile.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're a show for all seasons. Valentine's Day, Christmas, New Year's, Halloween, 4th of July. And you can normally find Courtney from Alabama on with us during all of those times. But it is great to be back with you tonight for another Valentine's Day installment. How did 2 hours and 45 minutes of this show already come and go? I do not know. But we got one more segment remaining. But maybe, just maybe with a special guest appearance. Our 2-year-old is now here with us. What are we going to have her sing?
Caroline, can you say hi? Caroline, look, you want to hold this? You want to say hi?
Hi.
Caroline, can you say, she's eating the microphone,
yeah,
windscreen. Can you sing Baby Shark?
Baby Sunny.
Can you sing Jesus Loves Me? Can you sing Jesus Loves Me? Can you sing Baby Shark?
No.
Okay. What do you want to sing?
Baby Shark.
Okay. All right, sing Baby Shark.
Hey, Caroline, tell us who your baby doll's name is.
Heidi.
Charlie. And who's your other baby's name?
You.
Lulu.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good, Caroline. Hey, our two-year-old, ladies and gentlemen, announcing her baby dolls, which she's actually holding in her hands, Charlie and Lulu are her baby
Which is a
dolls.
Natural instinct because Caroline has been a mom for about a year now to two.
Ever since she could move.
Yeah.
She's
she
been
takes care of them. She feeds them. She changes their
she
diapers.
She gave them a popsicle today.
Yeah. She colors on their faces. But she takes very good care of them.
Or at least she thinks she does.
Yes. She puts them to bed. They go everywhere. She never forgets about them. So it's a natural instinct to be a mother.
What do you think, Courtney? Is that true?
It is so true. My little girl and my little boy are so different. But you know what? I just love the differences. It's so precious.
Mm-hmm. Well, so this is what we were talking about with Kim earlier. Like, for my son, I worry he's going to have to go out, get a job, have a career. He's going to have to provide for a family. For my daughters, though, you have one of each. I only want them to marry well. So this thing about all people must go to college, women must go to college and have their upbringing undermined and to be brainwashed for 4 years while you are accruing
large amounts of debt.
Yeah, the debt of a home, the debt of a mortgage without the home. This is
just
it.
Just going to bring more stress to a new marriage.
Well, we had this last week on the program, the author of the No College Club, and this was actually just one of the things you wanted to talk about tonight as Caroline continues to talk. Women going to college and what influences it, and is it good or not? Courtney, these are the things you wanted to talk about tonight, and it fits in well with last week's last hour.
Sure, yeah. You know, it's interesting with my generation. I don't know why women went to college before my generation, but when you get to my generation, I don't think most women my age, I don't think they went to college. And again, you know, I like to focus on white women, you know, because that's our main focus. And but, you know, when you get to my generation, I don't think most women my age, I don't think they went to college because they, you know, at least in the South, like it doesn't seem like they purposely go just to be feminists and to take the spots from men. I think they're really trying to please their parents and society. Yes. Because they don't know better. And, you know, I grew up in one of these homes where that pressure was on me. And a lot of it is, you know, I have baby boomer parents, just like both of you do. And the baby boomers, I think they were the richest generation of the last century. I mean, they've probably been the richest generation ever. They had a lot of disposable income. And so they decided to send all their kids to school. I mean, God bless them, like girls and boys and girls. And, you know, when you're a girl who grows up in a home where your parents have saved for you since you were a baby, and then you become an adult and they say, we want you to go to college, it's like you can't really, you have to obey them. You don't want to disobey them and say no. And, you know, I remember sitting down with my dad and granddad, two great men, by the way, who just wanted the best for me and my siblings. You know, I didn't want to go. I sat down with them and I said, I really just want to be a mother. And they said, in this day and age, you need to go. It's just good for you to get a degree. And, you know, and I'm not blaming them. I think that at that point in time, they were looking at the direction the wind in society was blowing. And it was a big deal at that time to send your kids to school. And, you know, they were trying to look out for what was best for me. And, you know, they're both Alabama men, my dad and my granddad. They're traditional Alabama men. They hate the feminist movement. That's and I think in Alabama or the South where I'm from, I know in Alabama specifically, I don't think it was a fad for parents, baby boomers with money, to send their girls to college. I don't think it was because of feminism or anything, because that's not popular here. I think it was because it was an upper class way for your daughter to meet a man that's at your parents' status. I think that's what it was. It really didn't matter if she gets a worthwhile degree or anything. In Alabama, we call it the MRS degree, where they would send their daughters to college to meet a respectable man. It really didn't matter if she used her degree or not. And that's really a lot of what it was. And you also, they also treat it like, at least in Alabama, they treat it like, you know, you have these baby boomers that, you know, they themselves went to the University of Alabama or they themselves went to Auburn University. And it's like they treat it like a legacy and, you know, they want their kids to go do the same thing and join a sorority or a fraternity. And then when it's game day, they like to buy their expensive RVs and come and tailgate. And, you know, it's like a big football club. I mean, that's really what it is in this state. You know, and of course they want their daughters in the sororities to meet a nice guy and get married. And again, it doesn't matter if they use their degree or not. That's really what it's about in Alabama. You know, and then in other parts of the country, you know, these girls, there might be more, a little more pressure on them to go on and pursue careers after college. But in both situations, you know, it's kind of a sad situation because they don't want to just waste their dad's money. So they feel like they have to go to school. And then they also want to, you know, in order to honor their parents and not waste their money, they want to go ahead and continue with their careers. But then they get to a point in life where, you know, gosh, is this what I want? I really want to be a mom. And it's really sad. It's sad for the women put in these situations. It's also sad for men because they could have had those spots in college actually using a more worthwhile degree. So there's a lot of reasons it's not good. You know, another thing, you know, last time I was on, I talked about, you know, women, I talked about, you know, the white female vote and, you know, and I stick to my word. Overall, white women, you know, they are a Republican leaning voting bloc, you know, and especially once you look at the ones that are rural and older and married and, you know, in the South, like in Alabama, where I'm from, there really is not a voting gap between white men and women. There really isn't. So there's a lot of factors involved. But, you know, I'm noticing, I guess, starting around the Trump years, the overall, you know, the gap between white men and women and voting for the Republican candidate started to suddenly get larger than it ever had been. And again, it's the young women going to college that are responsible, the young single white women going to college that are responsible for that gap widening. And, you know, it irritates me that they're going in that direction with their voting. I guess they don't know better because they don't see in the media, they don't really see, you know, pushback to the current narrative. It's really sad. I'm hoping in the future as things get harder, you know, as things get tougher for white people in this country, I hope that this fad just goes away and you won't have these young women going to college getting indoctrinated anymore. They're going to be getting married and, you know, and they're going to, you know, want to think, they're going to think more Republican, not that Republican is good either, but they're going to think, you know, more like what you talk about on this show. You know, they're going to listen to, you know, they're going to think the way their husband wants them to think, you know, especially the younger they get married. There's going to come a time where it's going to get harder for whites, and I'm hoping that, you know, this fad to go to school is just going to go away because people aren't going to afford it anymore. The, you know, these future generations are not going to be as rich as the baby boomers. I mean,
well, that's the thing. I mean, that's something that Janice is texting. I've been amazed throughout the entire show. It seems like every guest has been listening to every other guest. Everybody has been commenting on the comments made by each other. Janice is texting me right now. Most women my age wanted to be wives and mothers, but the government made it impossible for us not to work. And I know you can relate to that, Courtney. I mean, this is something. I mean, there's the dream and then there's the reality, and we find ourselves caught between the middle sometimes.
Right. It's really a sad situation for, you know, white people on both sides. It's not a good situation for white men, obviously. And it also, you know, because they're getting, you know, it should really only be a small minority of white men going to college. You know, we need to go back to the basic degrees like your medical degree, engineering, business. And it should only be like the brightest white men going to college. You know, women don't need to be going and a lot of white men don't need to be going. And, you know, it's okay to just learn a trade. There's nothing wrong with that. And a lot of trades make so much money. I'm amazed a lot of times at how, you know, somebody that's in just a regular blue collar trade, that gosh, they're making as much as somebody who went to college and they're actually using their degree, you know. So it's not a bad thing. It's not, and I think the harder things get for white people, the more we're going to see a return to trades and women, you know, getting married at young ages and stuff. So
Hey, listen, it has been a fantastic Valentine's Day night to you, Courtney, and to your husband and to your children, to Janice, to Kim, to Lacey, to Sarah, to Cyan, and to my own wife who's been with us tonight. Danny, say goodnight to Courtney.
Good night.
It's been a fantastic night with all of the ladies. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Courtney, final word to you. We got seconds remaining. 10 seconds.
You know, I don't know what to say. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
I know, you really put her on the spot on that. Well, that was a hard.
Valentine's.
10 seconds, say something.
Yeah, say something. Well, Google St. Valentine's and find out the history of Valentine. Why would, do we call it Valentine's Day? That's a good one.
Good night to have more babies.
I love you.